The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning. Shavuot Tov, how are you?
Boker Tov, Shavuot Tov. Just when you think it can't get any crazier, it just does.
It absolutely does. What a mad, mad situation evolving in Israel. Let's just talk about really what's going on. Prime Minister Netanyahu is determined not to vacate his position or rule out continuing as Prime Minister in spite of the decision by the Attorney General to indict him. What is the public's view of this?
Well, one of the newspapers ran a poll to ask what the general public thinks about the Prime Minister continuing to serve as the Prime Minister while also fighting these legal cases that have now been firmed up by the Attorney General, of course, in that quite dramatic announcement that took place on Thursday evening by the Attorney General. He announced that with a heavy heart and in a very sad sort of way, that he has no choice but to charge the Prime Minister with various charges involving breach of trust and involving fraud and involving bribery even as part of the charges, three separate charges that were laid out. And one of the newspapers did run a poll to find out what the public thinks about this. And interestingly, more than 50% of the general public, something like 56% of the general public, feel that the Prime Minister cannot continue to serve in his role and fight the legal case. Now, I don't think that that necessarily means that people think that he's guilty. I mean, that's, you know, something that will need to be determined and is likely to take some time as it goes through the courts. But there is a view that says that fighting the case and being Prime Minister are two things that one person can't do at the same time. And, of course, Prime Minister Netanyahu was yesterday very determined to show exactly the opposite, that he is able to do that. He made a tour in the Golan Heights. He was with Minister of Defense Naftali Bennett and with senior military people. And the point that he made when someone asked him whether he was going to try somehow to promote some parliamentary immunity against these charges in the event that we can actually get parliament up and functioning, he didn't answer. He simply said, you're asking very, very difficult questions, but right now I'm here to talk about what's going along the Syrian border. I'm here to talk about the threat that Iran presents to Israel. I'm here to tell you that we will be attacked again by Iran, that we need to expect that, and that as you can see, I'm here and I'm dealing with matters of state, and I'm able to do that in parallel with taking care of the legal issues. And by the way, Netanyahu came out very, very strongly following the Attorney General's announcement on Thursday, very, very aggressively defending his position, denying that he is liable to stand charges, denying that there's any case to be answered or that, you know, there is any sign of wrongdoing at all, and was really, really very aggressive in defending himself. And of course, it's thrown the whole political establishment into some disarray, because as we into that 3-week period now, where the mandate for forming the government rests at the moment with the Speaker of the Knesset, that any member of Knesset has the right to come up and form a government. And, you know, the questions that people are asking are whether this is likely potentially to change the route that Israel has been on up until now in terms of forming a government or not forming a government, as the case may be, but whether this dramatic announcement on Thursday, which of course was somewhat expected but was still very dramatic in the way that it came out, whether this is likely to change the possibility of a government being formed, make it any easier, change the lie of the land in terms of the political players. And the real question is Netanyahu still likely to continue in that role or not? Mm. You know, there are many different constellations. The Likud is starting to show some cracks. Gideon Saar is coming up much, much more vociferously now, much more vocally about the fact that he doesn't feel that Netanyahu can continue to lead the party. He's, of course, mounting a challenge. The question is whether he'll even have an opportunity to show that challenge. and whether there will actually be whether there will be elections that the Likud will hold in order to confirm or deny Netanyahu the place at the leadership of the Likud. These are all questions that we can't answer at the moment.
Anthony, surely it's also relevant that after two elections, it's clear that the Prime Minister Netanyahu has not been able to form a government. Surely that must impact on the Likud itself, saying, hold on a minute, maybe we do need another leader who would be able, and we know that because some of the other parties have said we will talk to Likud if Netanyahu is not the Prime Minister. So surely, if Netanyahu isn't the one, it's himself to stand forward. So surely the Likud need to say, you know, what's more important, the man or the party, and isn't it time?
I agree with you entirely. The problem is that logic doesn't necessarily rule where it comes to the Likud. And one of the issues that's going on in the Likud at the moment is that Netanyahu has been and continues to be the face of the Likud. And so there are so many people in the Likud who recognize and who are very, very open in saying, without Netanyahu there as being the face of the Likud, what chances do the Likud have of achieving a similar result in another election? And there is a lot of doubt about whether Likud can be the same Likud as it was in the last election without Netanyahu's leadership. And I think that there are many, many people within the Likud who feel that it would be a failure if Netanyahu wasn't there because of the appeal that he has to a certain electorate, a certain population of the electorate, and that they feel that appeal would go away, that the Likud potentially would lose a lot of support and a lot of votes if Netanyahu wasn't there. So that's really the dilemma that the Likud is having right now. And there is this internal discussion going on within the Likud about whether they would have primaries to elect again the list, or whether they might just have a primary to elect a leader, or at least to re-elect Netanyahu if, in fact, people will continue to support him. But I think you're right. I think we have to try somehow, and the Likud needs to somehow come to terms with the fact that they need to move on without Netanyahu right now. I think his time has been, he's done what he needs to do, and his time is sort of over. He needs to move on to the next thing and allow the country to move on, not only the Likud, but indeed allow the country to move on, because I do believe that there will be no government without a national unity government, and I do believe that there will be no national unity government while Netanyahu continues to be there. So in order for us to move on, I think he needs to step aside, allow the next leader to take the role, to allow a national unity government to be formed in one shape or form or another, and allow this country to have the government that it deserves to have.
Yeah. Is there anything are there any steps now that we are waiting for, or does this just simply evolve from this point onwards?
Well, the interesting thing for me is the statement by the Attorney General, who only on Thursday evening announced that he's indicting Netanyahu for all of these quite horrendous accusations, if they are proved true, that he, Avishai Mandelblit, has come forward saying that he does not object to the Prime Minister continuing to serve in his role, even though he has these indictments filed against him. Now, according to the law, the Prime Minister is required to step down from ministerial positions, or perhaps differently stated, any minister who serves in the government is required to step down from a ministerial position if he is indicted. However, that does not apply to the Prime Minister. So as I understand things right now, and there is a great deal of confusion, as I understand things, the Prime Minister is required to step down from all the various ministerial positions that he holds, because that's what the law requires, but he continues to serve as Prime Minister. And in fact, Avichai Mandelblit seems to have indicated that he supports that notion, which is a little strange. In terms of what the next steps are, I mean, I guess the 3 weeks will roll over, and my expectation is that we probably will not have a government formed within those 3 weeks, and therefore, according to the law, we'll have to go to new elections. And so we will do that. And so I think that the whole Netanyahu legal situation will then be brought to bear on what happens during that election process, what the Likud decides to do as a result of that, and how the electorate turn up, and perhaps change their point of view if they do so as a result of the new revelations and these new indictments that have been filed against the Prime Minister. In terms of the legal process, that's a very long, drawn-out exercise, and I don't think that we're going to see any further developments on that, at least for the foreseeable future. And I think that the election is more likely to be the next kind of action that takes place.
Well, certainly we'll keep an eye on that one. Bus lines that were set up to operate on Shabbat were crowded on their first day of operations. Is this likely, and this happened in Tel Aviv, is this likely to become a permanent establishment?
Well, these new, I mean, we've spoken about public transportation on Shabbat before. It continues to be a big dilemma, a big area of contradiction within Israel, where the official bus lines, which are run by the major bus companies, be they Eged or Metropolitan or any of the other major different bus lines that are run, they don't operate on Shabbat. And so what's happened is that this organization has formed and has been cooperating now with various municipalities in the Tel Aviv area to set up what they call the Pleasant Weekend Shabbat Public Transportation Project. And this has been running in Tel Aviv, in Givatayim, in Ramat Gan, in Ramat HaSharon, in Kiryat Ono, and there have been processes as well in Rishon LeZion that it should also operate there. Of course, the dilemma being Shabbat is Shabbat, and so for those people who wish to respect and observe Shabbat, it is a good thing that public transportation doesn't run. It just kind of adds to the atmosphere and to the observance of Shabbat. On the other hand, many, many people, working people who don't have access to private transportation, have one day a week in which they can entertain themselves and go to the beach and do things with their families. And on that one day, there happens not to be public transportation. So those people are limited in what they're able to do on their day off, because of the fact that there's no public transportation, and we've seen that these people have really crowded these bus lines, and that we saw that over Shabbat, the last Shabbat. So if we were to judge by what happened last Shabbat, it seems like this is going to become a very, very popular and probably permanent establishment as far as we can tell. And, you know, I'm sure that people listening out there will have a view about this as to whether it's the right thing in the Jewish state for us to have public transportation on Shabbat or not. El Al doesn't operate on Shabbat. The trains don't operate on Shabbat. All the official bus companies have not been operating on Shabbat. Is that the right thing? Should we continue to respect that, or has the time now come for us to say, for those people who wish not to travel on Shabbat, your view is respected, and it doesn't necessarily mean that other people who prefer to travel on Shabbat should be prevented from doing so.
Yeah, and I'd love your thoughts on it. 34519 or 061-895-1019. Do you think that Israel should be providing transport on Shabbat for people who are not Shabbat observant? I have to say that I don't have a view on this. I'm completely conflicted in many ways. I feel that it could impact on Shabbat, and it could impact on the nature of the Jewish state. But on the other side of it, I feel that people need a choice. And if they don't want to keep Shabbat, then let them do what they need to do. And perhaps if they're not resentful, then there's more of a chance that they will make the choice to be Shabbat observant on their own. So I guess I'm slightly conflicted about this. I don't really know what my thought is, but I would love yours. Anthony Rock, thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow.